I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Memo. It is Thursday, January 5th, 2017.
2017.
Still writing 2015 on all my checks.
I'm still putting 2016 on some
headlines. I never got around to doing 2016. I just put 2015 on everything.
Like on Newsbreak yesterday, you know, we posted a story up, and then the headline.
Did your mullet go on there?
Shut up. Oh. And the headline, I accidentally put January 4th, 2016. Mm-hmm. I had to go back and change it because I'm still trying to, like you said, getting that mindset of it's 2017, which is, for some reason, the fact that it's 2017 is kind of freaking me out more than 2016.
You're suddenly aware of your mortality?
I'm always aware of my mortality. Maybe just it's a heightened awareness now. Okay. I don't know. It's just hard to believe it's
already 2017. Nothing should have made you more aware of your mortality than 2016.
That's a good point.
Yes.
Good thing I'm not a celebrity.
Hey, speaking of celebrity deaths in 2016, Derek, you can help us out. I tried on Monday's podcast when Justin and I went through the year in review. I tried to tell your joke about the Cubs and
it's not
the devil
my joke.
And,
I saw it on Twitter, but
I failed.
You brutalized it.
Yeah, I did. I fumbled.
Believe it goes. The devil says, "I will grant your wish, but it comes with a steep price. Some of your finest artists and your future." And the Cubs fan says, "I'm not saying no."
So. I mean, David Bowie and Prince. Cubs win the World Series. I mean, I guess that's a fair trade-off to some people.
That's just two of the 400. I can't wait to watch the Golden Globes Saturday night because...
Dude, half the show's going to be the in memoriam.
It might be over before the end of the year happens. I'm not entirely sure. But
I mean, because usually there's like maybe one or two that you give in that in memoriam they give extra attention to. There's like
They show a little
six
video
or eight
clip.
At least.
Yeah. Because all these people too, even the musicians... had some, I mean, Prince had movies, David Bowie had movies. I mean, you've got, so, I mean, had TV spots, and so that's going to be, it's going to be a good chunk of the evening.
Yeah, and then I don't know what they'll do with the Grammys.
Yeah.
But, probably something there,
I mean,
too.
You've got the Academy Awards in February that'll do it as well.
Besides Bowie and Prince, we lost Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
We lost, blanking out, Bowie, Prince, Cohen, I mean, that's a... quite the triumvirate right
George
there.
George Michael died.
George Michael. Mm. Can't forget him.
I mean, that was just right there at the end. So,
well.
Didn't Merle Haggard die, or was that
Merle
2015?
Haggard, there's another one.
Was that
no, that was 2016. There's another one, Merle Haggard.
Going forever.
So, yeah. So far, I don't think 2017 has claimed anybody. We're almost a week in.
Well, the way to jinx it. Yeah, I'm good. I was checking pulse after you said that.
And we've determined the reason that John Stamos died. It was Brad Locke.
Don't say John Stamos. Everybody loves John Stamos.
As do I.
He plays with the Beach Boys. Everybody loves John Stamos.
Who's more ageless, him or Rob Lowe?
Oh, that's a good question. I stared off into the distance because both of them look the exact same as they did in 88.
They both got the Dick Clark thing going on. Although when Dick Clark aged, it was like boom all of a sudden.
Well, it's that stroke that did him.
Well, in, yeah. True. Yeah. He was like 40 forever, and then suddenly he was 80.
Yeah, and then suddenly he...
Remember that commercial, that old car commercial where it shows it's Dick Clark. It just reminded me of it because it's funny. It shows him going out the door of his apartment or whatever, and there's a bellhop there in his little outfit.
Oh, yeah, and he keeps getting older, and
the bellhop
Clark's
does.
Always the same.
Every time he walks out, Dick Clark's the same. The guy, first he's a teenager, and then ends up being an old man. Dick Clark doesn't change.
I forgot all about that.
I don't remember what commercial that was for. So probably a car commercial.
I guess I forgot. I mean, I remember that they still call it Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, but every year it seems like I turn on, I'm like, what, is he still, what, are we still doing this? He's still alive? He's not, of course. But
unfortunately.
I didn't even watch the ball drop this year.
I didn't either. We just, I was like, I've got my phone. Let's just do a countdown on our own kids. Yay.
Well, you just, that you're everything wrong with society right there.
New Year's is...
I still say we should drop something here in town. Even if we just climb up on top of City Hall and throw fruit down.
Just climb up on the water tower.
Three. Just throw a tomato at somebody. Random passerby.
Happy New Year, sucker.
Hope
you can get that out of the wash.
Just chunk a pineapple at somebody.
I might kill them.
The memo is not responsible. The views of Derek Russell and Brad Locke do not reflect that in the Daily Journal.
Do not try this at
home. Please do not climb up City Hall and throw fruit.
You ever climbed a water tower?
The apparently views of Brad Locke and Derek Russell.
When I was a kid, apparently that was a thing. It might still be. Me and my friends
That's malicious mischief.
My friends and I one night decided to do that. I got about halfway up, and they never even climbed up, and they chickened out, so I came back down.
It's a long way.
It was.
I mean, you just about have to grapple up there. Well, and then it's always at night. Nobody wants to do it in the daylight.
Well, obviously, you might get caught.
It's night, and you're just falling into a black void down below you. I have enough dreams like that. I don't need to actually live that out in real life. How did we get here?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch the ball drop.
Yeah.
I did. Were you here the other... No, you were gone last week when I said, I can't believe we don't drop a guitar or something at Fair Park.
What we should do.
Then I also...
Or a giant Elvis head. Speaking of the holidays, mm-hmm. I had a totally random thought last night as I was watching... So I was watching Phineas and Ferb with my kids.
You never have totally random thoughts.
By the way, is one of the greatest cartoon shows of all time. I don't know if you're into it.
No, I've never done
it. You need to see it. It's good. It's good. It's accessible to both small children and adults. And it's funny. Anyway, we're watching it we're watching it on Netflix. My daughter watched like 6 straight hours of it yesterday. One of the episodes was a Christmas special, the Phineas and Ferb Christmas special, and it had Santa on there. He's got a real deep voice, and I'm starting to think, every depiction of Santa, pretty much, he's got a deep voice. Maybe Santa has a high-pitched voice. Maybe we've got it all wrong.
Yeah.
I just had that thought.
Usually bowl full of jelly, deep voice.
I don't think... Your girth is necessarily indicative of how your voice pitch.
No, I'm not saying that they're mutually exclusive. I'm just saying it would be very off-putting to hear a high-pitched Santa.
I know, but
the elves are high-pitched.
Maybe that's this. Maybe they aren't.
Maybe they're the low ones.
Hey, maybe.
Shorter to the ground, lower, deeper voice.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? The guy from Game of Thrones. He didn't have a high-pitched voice.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
I don't either, but you know who I'm talking about.
The guy that was also an elf?
Yes.
What's his name? I don't know.
Okay, so just thought I'd pass that random thought along.
Well, I appreciate you.
Who we got on the show today?
I appreciate you poisoning our minds with your thought process.
All right, if nothing else, go check out Phineas and Ferb in
your moment of moments, the quietest when you're alone and thinking, I just don't want to go, I wonder what Brad Locke's thinking right now.
He's thinking about, I wonder if Santa has
actually got a high-pitched voice or not. Kids, write in. What do you think?
Send us an email at memo@journalinc.com. Let us know what you think. Mm. If Santa has a high-pitched voice. Who's on the show today, Derek? Besides us,
Chris Kiefer's going to be joining
us. Well, he's always here.
Well, but don't sound so happy about it. Bobby Harrison will be joining us from, I almost said Memphis, but I'm pretty sure he's in Jackson. I don't know why I've got Memphis on the brain. Also, Scott Morris, and then you'll hear from me. So,
yeah, Scott's going to review the best and worst movies of the year, according to him.
According to him.
I haven't seen enough movies this year to have any kind of rankings. Probably gone to the theater like twice at the most.
And I know Scott, he might mention this. I know he said it when he was talking about it yesterday. Of course, his disclaimer too is that some of the best award-winning movies, unfortunately, don't come to Tupelo. So he's also kind of limited by that.
Which is actually what my column's about today.
Exactly. Sure.
It's called a segue.
Nice.
Even though they made me out to be a liar.
Take notes, Brad.
Take notes, yeah. Okay, so we got all that coming up. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant featuring fine dining and a casual atmosphere. You can go to South on North Gloucester. It's good eating. Let's go down to Jackson and speak with Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief for the Journal. How you doing, Bobby?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. Thank you. I want to talk with you about, of course, the legislative session has begun this week and yesterday. Superintendent of Education Kerry Wright appeared before the House Education Committee to give them an update on some education issues. And one of those issues is the special education vouchers, Bobby, which parents of special education, kids with special education needs can apply for these $6,500 per year vouchers. And so, they awarded, some 400-something scholarship slots last year. The story here is that not everybody's using these funds. In fact, a lot of these students are going back into public schools, Bobby. That's kind of the gist of it.
Yeah. I think they awarded 425, which was essentially all the money they had, and they did that through a lottery system. And Dr. Wright said yesterday at the House Education Committee meeting that I believe 109 of those, at least 109 of them, have opted to re-enroll in the public schools and not take advantage of those vouchers. Now, I guess it may be hard to do during the middle of the school year, but I guess somebody else could apply for those and get those slots. But I thought that was interesting that so far they've had trouble filling those slots in this program. It's the truest voucher. You know, we kind of teeter around the edges on school choice issues. We've got a pretty strong charter school law, but we don't go as far as on school choice issues as some school districts do or some states do. And this was a big deal when they passed it. And thus far, they, you know, based on the information yesterday, you know, it's been in effect 2 years now that they've yet to use all the slots, either one of those 2 years, to for all the money they have.
I mean, the question here is, why are these vouchers not all getting used? Why are some of these kids going back to public school? They don't really have an answer right now, Bobby. Are there any possible or likely explanations?
Well, I mean, I can speculate, and maybe I shouldn't, but I mean, I think it's obvious that, and nobody official did this speculation, but some of these children have substantial special needs and cost a lot more than $6,500 to per year to educate. And I think some parents, you know, maybe found that out as they explored the voucher program. You know, it was funny when they were passing this program, it was passed during the 2015 session, and it first came up in 2014 session. And I remember talking to parents thinking this would be a supplement that they could keep their kid in the public school and use this money for additional help, which, I mean, probably a lot of these kids need, but that's not the way the program works. You know, if you take this voucher, you're leaving public school and you can't receive the benefits of what they provide in the public schools.
Yeah.
And a lot of instances of public schools provide a lot more options for these kids than do the private schools, which, you know, don't have the mandate that the public schools do to provide an education for everybody.
Of course, this legislation passed a couple of years ago, and they broadened it last year. And as far as big picture and school choice in Mississippi, I mean, I guess this would be considered a setback for those who favor school choice.
Well, I don't know if you'd consider it a setback, but I do. I mean, just look at, you know, as I said, so far the 2 years of the program, and they've yet to fill all the slots in either year, based on what, you know, the information Dr. Wright provided yesterday. So it's not as cut and dried as some people like to make it. You know, the important thing to remember, Brad, is there's like 65,000 kids who have some type of special needs designation. So we're talking about a small number, and probably and just about everybody agrees that special education is an area. Well, I mean, there might be several areas, but this is an area where the public schools need some improvement. And this was viewed as an effort at that improvement. Other people would say this is just one addressing, and it doesn't really address the issues that need to be addressed with the special needs children. So we'll see where it goes from here.
All right. Well, good stuff as always, Bobby, and we'll have continued coverage from the legislative session going on down there in Jackson. You can follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Read his coverage in today's journal and at djournal.com. Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you, Brad. Y'all take care.
You too. And if you want more Bobby Harrison, and who doesn't, you can watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Bobby will provide commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2017 legislative session has just begun, so Bobby will have a perspective about all the news coming out of the state capitol.
You can also look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air on Wednesdays. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Did you have one this week?
Yep.
You did, huh?
I didn't get up on Wednesday, though. We're having a technical glitch.
It will hopefully be up soon.
Sure.
Also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans can check out the Devil Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, inside commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free on iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Let's talk movies. M. Scott Morris is here, or as we just call him, Scott. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. Normally, you come in here and review a movie for us, but hey, you know, the 2016 just ended, so we're going to look back at all the movies of 2016.
Well, see, that's
every
my first...
Every single one, so this is going to take a while.
that's my first caveat,
right.
is that I feel really good
about my F's. The F's I gave, I feel like they'll be F's that will last until the end of time.
So the bad movies were really bad.
Bad movies are bad. The good movies, though, we see about 50 movies a year, which is a good sum.
Wow.
But they put out like a couple of hundred. So there's a lot of stuff that we miss. And a lot of, like if one we want to see showing at one theater and not the other, I mean, if they come out in the same weekend, we have to pick.
Right.
So we miss some good stuff. So my list can be limited that way.
Okay.
But so my
you're
good
limited
ones,
by what comes here too.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, definitely. Not all of it does, but like one of my favorites is Room, and it did come here, but it was a 2015 movie, but it didn't come here until 2016, and just love that film. It's about a girl who's kidnapped, and she ends up raising a child by her kidnapper in this tiny room, and then which is very compelling. And then right about when you can't stand it anymore, she gets out, and then you find out how life is like for her to adjust back to real life.
Yeah.
And it was a powerful, just very, very intimate, very very powerful story that I left going, wow. And I did not expect to enjoy that movie.
Really? That
was one of my favorites of the year that I saw. But then the other two that I put down, I had a bunch of A's that I did. I went through the year and I killed it down to my top three. And so, like the Queen of Malaya, I really enjoyed, but it didn't make my list. But that movie was surprisingly good to me again. But my other two are kind of big tent movies.
Right.
Captain America Civil War, my family's in the tank for Marvel, and so we know all the characters, and so there's nothing about these movies that confuses us. We know who's who from having watched everything else, and we just love how these stories are just playing out.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah, love those.
And so that was a great experience. That's in my DVD cabinet right now. I've already watched it. We got it for Christmas.
Yeah.
And the other was Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And again, similar thing. We're just kind of in the tank for the Harry Potter movies. And when it came out, thoroughly enjoyed it and just loved the idea of having more stuff in this world. And I loved the character of Newt Scamander, played by Eddie Redmayne. I just felt like he's one of my favorite characters in the whole world. He's just a guy who's devoted to what he's doing. But just really, really off. And I think that probably describes all four men in this room right now. So those were my tops.
At least the second part describes me. I don't know about the devoted to anything. To what I do.
Oh, every time I laugh, Chris Kiesfer has to turn down the levels on my microphone. I keep trying to talk like this, but every time I start to...
It doesn't come natural, does it?
Do like it's Elvis, Santa.
Just talk high pitch like Santa.
Just talk high pitch like
Santa. Hey guys, so this movie was great.
What other movies? So those are your top.
Those are my top three. Move on to my bottom three. Now these I feel pretty firm about here. These were my F's that I gave out for the year. One of them was the Divergent series, or as I like to say, the Divergent series.
Divergent.
Allegiant. I think that's the third one.
Allegiant.
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 Stop talking fancy, boy.
Shailene Woodley's in there. It's the third in the series. We own the first one. The kids love that. But I mean, this was just, can you say stupid on the memo podcast?
All day long.
Okay. I thought with you two in charge it would fit.
You hear it all day long.
We sense it.
It
fills
too.
The room. But it's one of those movies to where everything that happens has to happen to satisfy the plot. This happens to be there, and she's never flown this type of vehicle before, but she's perfect at it and evades everything.
Right.
And it doesn't really make any sense to me. And then also Jeff Daniels in it, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, he's the bad guy, and you know he's the bad guy from the first time you see him appear, and yet our heroine cannot figure out he's the bad guy for like just a ridiculously long time. So, next, then, we have Jason Statham's Mechanic Resurrection.
See, most of his movies, they may not be great, but they're at least fun to watch, fun to look at.
Okay, well,
but this one apparently was not.
The way here's my take on it is it sapped the fun out of an good, old-fashioned killing spree.
Well, heck. How can you even do that?
Well, you know, in Rogue One, I'm not going to give away the ending of
it.
I'm not going to give away anything on it.
You mean Star Wars A New Hope?
The ending.
Oh, well, still. Well, there's more stuff to the ending than I'm keeping, but that's very nice. But in this movie, the stormtroopers learn how to shoot.
Oh,
and it
good.
Makes for a better movie.
Yeah.
You know,
which is weird because this happens before all the other movies
when they can't shoot.
Well, they dumb down,
they
I guess.
They dumb down, you know. It's they see the end is near and they're probably not in it all you know. But there's some elite stormtroopers. Anyway, and the guy should have been killed in the first 15 minutes in the first
the first 18, the first 19.
And it just after a while it's like you're not even trying.
It's like these guys that are shooting at you have shotguns lots. They're probably actually pretty good at hitting moving
targets.
Yeah, they're
evil bad guys, and they're hiring for their ability to be evil bad guys, and they can't shoot.
That's the one thing that has always bothered me, even about a good action movie, is you want to have a moment where somebody should be dead, and inexplicably, they don't get hit. Yeah. Or if they do, it's just a flesh wound.
It's only a flesh wound. What if Santa had a British accent and a high voice? It's only a flesh wound. Cole.
I've had worse. Who's giving Santa flesh wounds?
The kid sitting in his lap.
Yeah, watch out for those antlers on those reindeer. Yeah.
Somebody just sitting there with a BB gun ready to pop him when he comes down the chimney.
I brought you some elderberry.
So what else was terrible in 2016?
All right, we just saw this. We talked about it not long ago. It was Aaron Eckhart in Incarnate.
Oh, yeah.
Incarnate.
The after-school special of
movies at the theater of horror.
Production value. The after-school special production value.
That arm thing you just did.
I was trying to get the words out.
He was throwing
come out.
Things at
terrible
at
job.
Kiefer, and it wasn't going into the podcast. It was going into the room.
I was trying to work the words out of my mouth.
I understand. And then I think probably like an after-school special probably had more thought that went into it.
Goodness.
Really, I'm watching it going, man, they must paid him a lot of money to be in this movie. I think Aaron Eckhart probably put 3 children through college just with that movie because...
good for him.
Good for him.
There's a rule to that. For every 3 good ones, you have to do 1 bad one, or is it every 2? I don't remember. There used to be a rule for that.
That's the Sean Connery rule.
Is that what it is?
Sean Connery.
It used to be the Ben Affleck rule.
Sean Connery could make just some goats, and then all those, and you think he was done, and of course now he's finally retired, but then he would show up and just be brilliant for all these movies. Yeah, that's true. That's all I got for 2016. For 2017, we'll start next week. I'd already seen one that we're not going to actually review unless it comes here later on. But I was out of town and went to go see Manchester by the Sea.
It's supposed to be good.
It is great, but it will wreck you. I mean, really? it will wreck you in all
that's
kinds of
ways. It's
got
Casey Affleck in it, right? Ben's brother?
Yeah. And he's fantastic in it.
One movie I'm intrigued by just because I'm talking about getting into the tank for certain movies. I loved M. Night Shyamalan when he first got started.
Yeah.
His movie started getting kind of terrible. Yeah. Like The Happening is still just one of my least favorite movies ever. But he's got a new one coming out.
Yeah, that's a comedy. You have to take it as a comedy.
Yes, I don't know how to take that one.
It's got Mark
Wahlberg. Actually,
it
did make me laugh. I'm like, really? The plants and trees?
It's hilarious.
Okay.
I wasn't the biggest fan of Signs, but I kind of liked it. I kind of did.
Yeah, the ending kind of sucked, but it was still a good movie overall. What's the name of the movie he's got coming out? It's got the guy, I can't remember his name.
Split.
The guy that plays the young
Professor X.
And you know what? I didn't recognize him. I've seen that. I know that guy. Who is that? And he looks so different to me from other roles I've seen him in. Yeah. And then I saw.
Yes, that's good in a film where he has
multiple personalities. He can pull off a skirt and a top too.
The pearls and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that one I have a feeling that one could be great or just really terrible and probably nothing in between. It's going to be one of those two.
My plan is to give it a C+, no matter how good it is.
I keep rooting for M. Night Shyamalan to make a comeback.
Well, you know his movie. He did the one about the grandparents came out last year, the year before. It wasn't
some
great,
positive feedback,
but it wasn't bad. Yeah,
and I'm one of those people that most people hated Lady in the Water. I liked it because I took it for what it was. It's a fairy tale.
You know, it's also just kind of his kind of. Can you say middle finger on the podcast?
Well, it kind of was that.
It was a middle finger to Hollywood critics.
It was a bit of a personal film there.
Yeah.
Because
we own a copy. We got a used DVD copy of it one time.
It's a fine little movie.
Yeah.
It's got Paul Giamatti in it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, as the evil Hollywood critic.
No. He plays one of the good guys. I don't remember who played the Hollywood critic. Some older fella.
Probably some dashing, good-looking fella.
Who, surprise, surprise, gets killed.
Well, he had it coming.
Just as all movie critics do, Scott, right?
I feel it every day.
Okay. Anything else? Is that it? We good?
I think this podcast is about as great as I can make it today.
Well, you gave it your best effort.
Well, not really. I kind of...
He just mailed it in.
Well, I would have laughed harder, but he kept doing the dials and all, and I just feel like I have to pull back. I want to give you more energy, and Chris Kiefer keeps taking it away.
He's just trying to keep it between the lines.
All right, but I did a partial English accent for you, so that should be something.
That's something. Y'all can y'all can read Scott's story, his review of the best and worst movies of 2016 in today's scene section at djournal.com. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you much.
Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Also, I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You can visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
Okay, Derek, let's talk about the scene section. What we got in the scene section? What's happening in Tupelo?
You want to? Well, it is Elvis's birthday week.
True, it'll be 80. Yeah, he would have been 82.
He would have been 82. You can, of course, go to the birthplace for the annual sing-along and birthday cake celebration.
What do they get? What songs are they going to sing?
Happy Birthday.
Oh. I thought it was going to be Elvis song.
It's usually just Happy Birthday. They sing to Elvis, and then you get a piece of cake. It's kind of like Milton in Office Space. The person-to-cake ratio is diminishing as you keep passing the cake down. It's like, I don't think I'm going to get cake.
I went to the 80th birthday. It was a big cake.
Why'd you go to the 80th? Did we film it?
I did some video, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fun time.
Yeah.
That's when Lisa Marie showed up. Not Lisa Marie, Priscilla.
Nah.
Yeah. Got my picture took with her and everything.
Took with her.
Got it took with her.
Oh, dear.
I know. Sometimes okay. I just like to talk in my old southern dialect.
Well,
for fun.
If you do want some Elvis songs, as Chris was looking for, you could go to Baldwin today or on Saturday. They're having Elvis music medley at Lula Lee's restaurant in downtown Baldwin there, 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $12, and you get dessert with it. So that'll be music provided by the Blue Dog Band.
So it's not karaoke.
It is not karaoke, no. There's also going on Sunday, this sounds kind of cool, a yard sale. You familiar with a yard sale?
Is that a typo?
Nope. It's a yard sale with art.
With art, okay.
Yes,
I get it.
At the Oxford Makers Market Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Admission is free, and there will be more than 20 vendors supplying art. For sale.
Cool.
Handmade and locally done art.
And next Wednesday at Blue Canoe.
You're going to have the Lark and the Loon. They're a band from Arkansas.
Married couple, right?
Also, yes, married couple. And on Wednesday, too, they hopefully will be here in the studio performing for us on the memo.
That's right. We'll have music right here in the studio.
Brad is not allowed to sing and or play with them.
What kind of music do they play?
Americana. They do some sea shanties.
Sea shanties.
Yeah, some Irish folk music. They do a little bit of everything. So.
My wife likes the old Irish type music.
There
she's a quarter Irish.
Yeah, they will be here in the studio next Wednesday.
Cool. We're going to try to make this kind of a semi-regular thing.
Yes.
Having musicians in here.
Semi-regular. Trying to have people on.
Neato.
And then you were saying something about my column this week.
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier that you talked about local cinemas not always having all
the good
movies.
Well, it's been a long-standing problem ever since I've moved to Tupelo, which was in 1985 when I was born here. it's sad. Back then, we used to have more theaters, and we have less now. Of course, I guess there's more culminated at you know, the Malco Theater that they tore down to build the current Malco Theater. Was just down here from the Journal.
On Cliff Guggen. I remember going to see one of the Toy Stories
and
there
a long time ago. It, too, was 10 screens, so we didn't really gain anything there. We got stadium seating,
so true.
We got bigger theaters, but we didn't really gain anything else there. But, I got made into a liar, though. I'll admit I was wrong, because I called for a comment this week and received a negative. I asked the theaters if La La Land, starring Emma Stone, which is probably the big Oscar contender this year, was going to be shown here. And both theaters said no, or not in one said no, and one said not anytime soon. And according to listings this morning, it will be starting tomorrow at Cinemark. So guess way to make me look bad, I guess, but whatever.
Okay. So. He also talked about how they were dedicating so many screens to like just a particular movie.
Well, you know, geographic restrictions were lifted earlier this, or in 2016, back in early summer, I guess, where studios wouldn't let you show the same movie within a certain distance. And that's not the case anymore. Some studios are still doing it. Disney still does it. But you can go to the, you know, forever, you was either one theater or the other.
Yeah.
Had movies. Now they can both show it, and they're both taking advantage of that. So,
sure.
You know, Assassin's Creed is showing in two screens at both theaters.
Seems a bit much.
Or was as of last week. So there's a high demand to see that four different screens. Right. I'm sure two of which are 3D and two of which are 2D.
Yeah, and then you got that whole thing, which 3D on the most on the whole is just a complete waste of your
money.
Well,
you know, if you're going to do it like that, here's what I say. Of course, they didn't ask me, but, you know, if one theater is going to do it, have one theater show it in 3D and have the other theater show it in 2D.
There you go.
Cut down on the screenings, but it's taken up a lot. Yeah, I think of the tally of films showing last week when I wrote this over the weekend in a town that has 18 movie screens, only 9 films were showing.
That's no good.
So it's just a little sad. We used to have to get in the car and go to Memphis to watch movies.
So it could be worse
around here. I still get in the car and go to Oxford.
Oh yeah,
sometimes.
How many screens do they have in Oxford?
Oxford has 2 Malcos. I would say they've probably got 18.
Okay.
Between the two, they've got the older Malco, which is in a strip mall, which is still a nice Malco. It's just older. Yeah. And then a guy a few years ago opened a theater with, was this while you were at Ole Miss, or was this after?
This is the one at the Oxford Commons.
Yes.
Yeah. I was either it opened and then it closed and then it opened again.
And
he
built it.
By the time I was either at Ole Miss or at the Eagle,
independent movie theater and a bowling alley, and then he closed it. And Malco ended up buying it, which I think is pretty cool for Malco to do that, and also to pick up a bowling alley in addition to a theater that's built onto it.
It used to be when it first opened, and it wasn't open long. I didn't make it out there, but one of the big things is that you could get food, like have a meal.
Had a menu, which they didn't keep that up, but they do have a bar. They do have a bar in there, which they still offer. So
someone in Tupelo, they need to serve beer at the theater. I went to a theater, a big theater in St. Louis a couple of years ago to see a movie, and the concession stand had some decent beer choices.
They do it in Starkville and in Oxford, so yeah, college towns, but no, not here.
Get on at Tupelo. Come on.
Well, if anybody wants to fund me, I'll open one down here in Fair Park.
Nice.
And we'll do some cool things that other theaters don't do.
But independent films?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Locally made films?
Yeah. So just start emptying your wallets right now. And I did not notice in that Lark and the Loon photo, there's a big cat.
Yeah,
in
I like
front
the
of
big
the picture.
Yellow cat.
I did not notice that when I was submitting it. And that cat's name is... Wait for it. Wait for it.
Is the cat getting the story?
Farthingale, yes.
Farthingale?
Because the cat and their two dogs travel with them when they go on tour.
Is the cat like the British car. Aristocracy?
I don't know.
Farthingale
travels along with them when they go on tour. So
that's cool.
Farthingale will not be in the studio next week.
Oh, that's too bad.
Probably be in the hotel room, I guess.
Yeah.
Or in the car. They leave the car running outside. Either way.
So that's it for the memo today.
Yep, we're done.
Thanks to everybody.
You're welcome.
For listening.
Oh. What?
Hey, today's episode, by the way, was brought to you by South. It's a restaurant on North Gloucester, fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Lots of good food, and they got the cheap date night every Tuesday, so check that out. You get 2 meals for the price of 1. Salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine offer just $25. So check it out at South. You can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. There's many different ways to listen to this program, of course, in iTunes or any of your podcast apps, and also online at memo.djournal.com. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek's on there at WDerekRussell. Zombie Chiefer is on there at Chris Kiefer. At Zombie Chiefer.
Wow.
No, Chris is not dead. So.
Yet. I'm getting better.
All right, we'll be back, I guess, Monday. Yes, that's the plan. Okay. Until then.
If we're still
here. What?
I was going to do a high-pitched sound.
Bye, kids. Merry Christmas.
Write me letters.
Have a good weekend.